Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed on AM 360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own, and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Share Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You are part of our 600,000 listening level, American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
American Muslim 360 is. We will never quit. American Muslim 360 is number one Muslim radio station.
Community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة لله وسلامه ورحمته وبركاته على صفوة الخلق سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه أجمعين ورحمة الله ومغفرته على تابعين وتابعين بإحسان إلى يوم الدين والسلام على إمام ورخ دين والسلام علينا وعلى عباده الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وطنوا نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. We seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan the accursed, and we declare that all praise is due to Allah, the master, the controller of all systems of knowledge. And we say this after beginning with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We praise him and we seek his aid. And we humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish the prayers, peace, mercy, and blessings upon his noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Humbly ask that the prayers, peace, mercy, and blessings be established upon all of his family members who followed him in purification. We humbly ask Allah to establish the same prayers, peace, mercy, and blessings upon all of his illustrious companions together. And we ask the forgiveness of Allah and the mercy upon the followers and their followers in excellence to the day of judgment. And we humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish his mercy as well as his peace upon Imam Dr. Warfuddin Muhammad. And we ask that peace be established amongst ourselves and the righteous servants of Allah, no matter where we may be, no matter where we may be from. And to all of that, we say, Ameen. I openly bear witness that there is absolutely none worthy of worship or praise except Allah, who is unique, without any associate whatsoever. And I bear witness that Muhammad is a servant and messenger. Allah calls out with Quran, and he states, O you believe, be mindful of Allah and fear him with a rational fear, and let every person consider what they put out for tomorrow, and be mindful of Allah, fearing him rationally, for surely he is aware of all that you do. Dear brothers and sisters, we want to welcome you to tonight's edition of Ma'iyya al-Kulli Hal. I'm your host, Imam Abdul Aziz, and we want to begin by extending the greetings to you, the greetings of peace, the greetings of the angels, the greetings of paradise, of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And as always, dear brothers and sisters, we want to begin by asking you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of the twin servant, Imam Thomas Abdul Salam, and his family, as well as upon Imam Khalifa Ramadan and his family. Extend that invitation for you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Imam Ibrahim Pasha, Imam Vernon Farid, Imam Ajin Muhammad, Imam Muhammad Sadiq, Imam Abdul Baki Abdul Hamid, Imam Farouk Abdul Wali, and Imam Rafiq Rasul and their families. And we also ask you to do the same on behalf of Imam Qasim Ahmed, Imam Ali Rashid, Imam Abdul Majid Kareem Hassan, Imam Abdul Baki Abdul Hamid. We also ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Muhammad and Imam Muhammad Sari, as well as Sister Al-Hajjah Faja Tyson, Al-Hajjah Rabina LeBron, Al-Hajjah Dalila Shahid, Al-Hajjah Lawrence Shahid, Sister Robin Muhammad, Sister Doreen Muhammad, and there are so many, dear brothers and sisters. We ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Sister Aisha, the wife of our dear brother, Imam Abdul Karim Abdul Hamid. And we also ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of our dear sister, Al-Hajjah Aliyah Alameen or Aliyah Abdul Wali. And so with that being said, dear brothers and sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to extend his mercy upon us and grant a blessing upon all of us who are facing some kind of trial or tribulation, or who have family members who are facing some kind of trial or tribulation, who are going through something, who are struggling. We ask Allah to bless us and them to be able to stand up to whatever he puts in front of us and them. And to that we say Ameen. Lastly, dear brothers and sisters, we were blessed with one of the children of Jannah who had returned. Her mother had returned to Allah while giving birth. Fatima Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with her. Well, now, dear brothers and sisters, 10 months later, we have Kinza Gatson, who was the daughter who was being born to Fatima, who returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the process. And so now we are asking for your du'as on her behalf, because she is currently in the hospital and she is on life support. 10 months old, beautiful baby, and we just want to just make sure that we keep her in our du'as, the family, the Muhammad family, the Gatson family, all of them in our du'as as well. So tonight, dear brothers and sisters, we just want to talk a little bit about some current stuff. And this current stuff can also act as a means of a distraction if we are not careful in our assessment. Many of us in pop culture, as you may know, have largely become distracted or overwhelmed by some of the stuff that you see on the news. Culture, if you don't know, is actually a way to think. America has a way, dear brothers and sisters, of trying to control the way you think. And so when they say pop culture, they're actually saying that you're expected to think a certain type of way. And it's not assumed that you, or me, or anyone for that matter, who fall under the guidelines of pop culture, to have their own mode of thinking. As Muslims, as you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us some channels to watch. He gives us some programming. He gives us commercials that we should be looking at and paying attention to. And when we draw from that, when we step outside of the channels that he has set for us and the programming that he has set for us, we're able to gauge the world through that lens. And in pop culture, they want the same thing. They want you to gauge the world through that lens. And so it's a concerted effort to get you to think the way they want you to think. Whether it's through disinformation or misinformation, the bottom line is that you're not thinking on your own. And if you're acting outside of that, then you're considered someone who is not lined up. And so we have a subject tonight, and it's called selective outrage. Selective outrage is when people have an idea about a thing, and they may or may not necessarily be interested. But then when the shoe is on the other foot, they're interested. An example is when someone is saying the N-word, or there has been some abuse on those people who have been formerly enslaved and who have been through the process, as you know, of segregation, Jim Crow, and all of those other things that have been leveled against African-American men and women and children for 400 years. When something is said to minimize the severity, the terrible incidents that took place during those periods, it doesn't seem as though it gets the same recognition or the same response from the so-called powers that be. And so when an abuse is leveled against an African-American, a minority who has been tried and found guilty and accused of stuff that they may not have done, we have a movie that's out now that records the incident in 1955 regarding Emmett Till. May Allah have mercy on him. And this story, it's in cinema now. It's a movie now. And it becomes a form of entertainment. When they look at our history, it's not for us to extract some values from that or even come out with an emotion, because then that would be viewed as something is wrong with us for some reason. But when you say something directly or indirectly involving something that happened to some other people, what happens is there's this outrage. We notice the outrage that has been leveled against Kyrie Irving, Kanye West, whatever you agree or disagree with what their assessment of the situation is, the idea is that there has been some subsequent outrage coming from people who run these companies, people in media, people in entertainment, and things like that. As a result, dear brothers and sisters, we see if you roll the tape back, you'll notice that whenever Kanye said something bad about the African-American experience, like slavery or wearing the shirt White Lives Matter and things like that, none of the companies pulled out. None of the companies declared separation from him or voiding the contracts they had with him. It was only when he said something that was of some level of truth that we saw this outrage stripping him, calling themselves stripping him of everything. Now, why am I mentioning this and I am packaging this in this idea of this selected rage? Because when something happens to an African American, they want us to just get over it. But when something happens to other people, we ought to never forget. And so it's a double standard, if you will. And this has nothing to do with, we're not running for anything, we're not campaigning for anything. We're speaking a truth that, for some reason or another, they have become allergic to it. And so historically, we look at the biblical connection, what was mentioned by Kyrie and, well, not even mentioned by Kyrie, but just he shared some information that was being sold on Amazon. No one is stepping away from Amazon for selling the video. No one is saying that Amazon doesn't deserve the time of day or they're closing their accounts. In fact, Amazon is still selling the video from Hebrews to African Americans. And so we look at this double standard. Again, Kanye been Caucasian or Kyrie been Caucasian or of some other culture other than Black American, then he would not have gotten the response, if you will. Because the selective outrage seems to only work when it comes down to one people. It doesn't help us. When we say something that's of some level of truth, because they did nothing to refute it, they claim that it's some false narrative. And what about all those false narratives that they say about us? And we don't even get an apology. And so when we talk in terms of our current set of circumstances as a people, we're noticing that we are still being tried. We're still being tribulated. We're still being tested. And so this selective outrage, dear brothers and sisters, is something that we have to pay attention to. Because then they would beg the question and ask you, to accept it on the basis of emotion alone, as opposed to looking at facts. And disregard what happened to you. Disregard what happened to your ancestors. Don't worry, that's nothing. This was back then. You know, disregard the fact that you, the reparations that you were promised, you never received. Do you know they have a candidate now who's African-American, whose ancestors were enslaved, saying that the African-American doesn't need reparations? And that's Herschel Walker running for governor's seat, Republican governor's seat. And so we are witnessing this. And at the same time, there's no explanation for it. But when someone says something that's directly or indirectly referencing some truth of the past regarding other people, we find that they get labeled anti-Semite. And it's unfortunate, dear brothers and sisters, that we haven't established a coalition to protect ourselves from that. Because it seems as though, although the claim is being made, the response is worse than the claim itself, or the action that's being claimed. It's worse than that. So it's not just about Kyrie Irving or about Kanye. It's about how they view us as a people. You claim that because someone says that the real Hebrews were black, that's anti-Semiticism? So that means that because anything that we connect to you regarding black is a problem, so that means that in reality, the anti-Semite is the individual making the claim of anti-Semitism. Because here it is historically, it's found that the real Hebrews were black people. And so you can go on as it being a matter of opinion, but that's what the Bible is saying. Historically, you see the people that are coming from that particular area at that time were of the same pigment as me and you. And I'm only saying this, dear brothers and sisters, to point out the fact that there is a double standard comes down to us being respected and for others demanding respect or claiming they can claim someone is disrespecting them and they're doing nothing of the sort but telling the truth. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us during this period, because this is a very dangerous time. It's dangerous because all someone has to say or with regards to that type of situation is just accuse you. And you haven't committed a crime. None of these gentlemen have been brought up on crimes. They didn't try to overthrow the government. What they're being charged with is something that is nowhere near what took place on January 6th. And none of those participated in January 6th. You don't see them having their income taken away from them, their employment taken away from them. Some of them are going to jail, but the reality is that's nothing of what the brunt force of their, how would you say, get back is. And it's a terrible thing to see, because we realize when that takes place that we are considered the same way we were considered when we were enslaved. What does that look like? If you have rights and I have rights, but yet the rights on your end are executed and the ones on my end are not, then I don't get the same rights that you get. We look at all of our medical facilities and we find that when we go into them, there's a good chance that we may not come out of them because we're not offered the optimal care that we're supposed to get. And so when they pick us up and put us in the ambulance, they are already directed to take us to a general hospital. They're already directed to take us to a hospital that has lesser quality of treatment for the minorities. And I witnessed it on several occasions where someone was going in the hospital and was saying, wait a minute, take them over to Einstein. No, we have to take them over to Bronx Lebanon, which is further away. But it's a general hospital.
And when you get into those hospitals, these hospitals like Harlem Hospital, General, St. Barnabas, Bronx, Lebanon, these particular type of hospitals will tell you that we only treat certain things. There's certain things that we don't even treat here. So you're already starting out in a bad situation, but because of our pigmentation, because of the political detriments of medicine, we don't get the same treatment. And then if it happened somewhere else, there would be some level of outrage, but because it's happening to us, there's no outrage at all. Remember, we're the consumer. We're people that are just not even thinking about making any noise. We don't want to rock the boat. Do some studying, and you'll notice that the mortality rate for black women while giving pregnant, by giving birth, is the highest. So many missing black women and children, but there's no outrage. No one's saying anything about that. Mental health in our community is at an all-time high. Poverty, domestic violence, all of these things are contributors are contributing factors that deal with this idea of us not getting the attention that we're supposed to get. And we're the ones that helped build the country. The monuments, all of these things were things that African Americans contributed to. And so selective outrage allows a group of people to take all of their frustrations, right, on this one person that really did it nothing. And then when it happens to us, they turn the blind eye. Malcolm, may Allah be pleased with him, and Hajj Malik Shabazz said that the big guns are the media, the people that control the newspapers and the television stations, the programs. They control that, so they got the people's ear. When you look at the standard for black men and women in entertainment, it seems like the people that are making the money or getting the most attention are the people who are the most lewd. And then they're singing and rapping about things that help decay of a community. You go into our communities in each state and you'll notice that everybody is in there except us. And I'm talking about business. When someone comes in and does construction, they're not even hiring us to do the construction. And this has been going on and it's continuing to go on. And we are not saying anything about it because we're so into partying and doing all of those things. Our youth, who we need to have their attention, we don't have their attention. Somebody else has their attention. And instead of them listening to those who generally care for them, would give them some right direction, they disregard listening to their mothers and fathers. And those are the mothers and fathers that want to tell them, that has something to tell them. There are other mothers and fathers who are still trying to catch up with the fads in society, so they ain't thinking about their kids. So when they go into their house, everybody's on a device. No one's interested in what their day was like. Or they work so hard that when they get home, they just eat and go to sleep, take a shower, eat and go to sleep in that order. Get up the next day, and everybody disperses, and then the process continues. Meanwhile, the instruction that the child really needs is giving the people that don't have their best interests at hand. They're giving them the wrong advice. So our children are now listening to idiots who are telling them that you don't need to identify with who the Creator made you as. You can be whatever you want to be, continuing your education. You don't have to think about contributing to uplift your community. You don't have to do any of that. Pop culture has it looked upon as something that's not even cool. When you go to the public schools, they're not going to give you the true history of this country. They've banned that. But at the same time, they'll tell you about a behavior that is unnatural against our fitra. And this is what they're giving our children. And when they get home, they're not looking for instruction from the parents because they're so worn out. So 9 out of 10 times, they have really nothing to say to them. And this is how our children are being nourished in 2022. To help us remember him and show gratitude to him and worship him in the best way. And we ask him to aid us to be of those who bring something to society to affect positive change. And to that, he said, amen.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Because there is no God but the one God.
Alhamdulillah, you will be the mean. We're back, dear brothers and sisters. And you're listening to Maria Al-Kulihal. I am your host, Imam Abdul Aziz, broadcasting live from America's number one Islamic broadcast station, AM360. And tonight we're just talking about this idea, this phenomena, if you will, called selective outrage. And there are some things that we are witnessing in society today that requires a response from us, as we know it from the scriptures, has already declared how he's going to come. He's declared that he's going to come from both sides, from below, behind. He's going to come from every angle to get you off the path, to prove that you are unworthy. Now, as Muslims, we know that it doesn't necessarily, we don't necessarily have to line up with what society is doing. In fact, the Prophet has went so far as to say that the men, people will follow their friends, so be careful who you choose as a friend. And when you look at society today, we look at these strange, as they call it, bedfellows business in culture. We see these strange bedfellows, right? And these people are going to side with each other, whether they're right or wrong. We saw that with the last president. We see that today with the rhetoric that's out there. And at the same time, if you appear to have some kind of voice, then the objective is to do whatever it takes to eliminate you from the process of being heard. And so despite the fact that we are in a society that gives the person that has the less sense the most, the high access to the most people, right? Give them the biggest turnaround, and if you don't say what they want you to say, they take those platforms away. They call themselves straightening you out. In slavery, they'd call it breaking a buck. The buck would be someone who is not necessarily listening to the so-called slave master. broke some kind of rule. And then they would take him after catching him or her and bring them in front of all of the other enslaved. And they would issue out punishment, right? And then the punishment would be so harsh that it would traumatize those who witnessed it, so that they are so caught up into how they would dealt with him in terms of the punishment that they would fear that this would happen to them, so they would stay in line. And we look at the public lynching. These two brothers, and you got to remember, Kyrie Irving is a Muslim. No Muslim group has come up and said, well, hey, wait a minute, man, you got to take it easy on this guy. You know, because now you're taking it a step too far. Why? Because we look at a guy like Colin Kaepernick and see what he did against the atrocities that have been taking place. The injustices have been handed out to our people consistently, and someone makes a stand. And they literally ban him, tell you that we're not racists. And then you turn around and you admit that he was right, and you still made sure that he didn't get rehired at the NFL. And to have us continue watching the NFL as a result. It's amazing how we are so caught up in not being together that all they have to do is say something's wrong with one of us, and we join them and start agreeing. We're in a dangerous time, dear brothers and sisters. And the cure, the solution to this problem for us is found right there in the Quran. Allah says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrija lin-nas." That you were the best of the people. You are the best of the people. Sent out for all mankind. It says, you enjoin what is right and you forbid what is wrong and you believe in Allah. So here Allah is telling us in the Quran as Muslims that we're the best community sent out for all mankind, meaning our message is for everybody. And that message is what? The enjoining of that which is right and the forbidding of that which is wrong. How do we apply that as people who say we follow Imam Dr. Waruthuddin Muhammad? How is that? What does that look like for one of us? How do we enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong? And so Imam Muhammad has given us some direction in the four birds. He's given us direction, right? And it says that we have what is the educational bird, right? The governmental bird, the cultural bird, the finance bird, right? And so how do you make the application? The application is that you enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong in education. You enjoin what is right and you forbid what is wrong in economics. You enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong in culture. Enjoin what is right and you forbid what is wrong in government. That's your job as someone who has accepted the faith, La ilaha illallah, and you declare La ilaha illallah as your motivation. Then your job is to enjoin what is right and to forbid what is wrong in those areas, because these are the areas that are most likely to be controlled. These areas are areas that is the more likely that someone to have some negligence. And so you're there not only as one participating, but one who is actually observing and ensuring that these things go correct. Look at the problem in our society. Look at our communities. Look at what's happening with the finances. We are the biggest contributor to financially, because we spend all of our money with them. Billions of dollars from the African-American community goes right there. We throw that right in the pot. Somebody, they come out with something, we go get it. We're not wise about it. We don't pool our resources so we can get it for a lesser price. We got to be the first ones to get it. See, remember that when I talked about pop culture? pop culture dictates that you got to be the first to get it. So they're out in line buying from someone who manufactures that don't care nothing about your people at all. Have no regard for the African Americans who are homeless, who have no jobs, who are struggling. And so we take this idea of us enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong as a Muslim to society as a means to make them come clean so everybody has a chance. But the minute we become this isolated group, that because this not happening to me, I ain't going to say too much. I don't want to rock the boat. And so we become this silent group in society. And in Islam, your silence is your consent. Rasulullah Islam said that you're going to be asked, right? It says when you see a wrong, change it with your hand. And if you're not able to do so, then change it with your tongue. And if you're not able to do so, then at least hate it in your heart. And that is the weakest point of faith. In other words, he's saying that faith in itself has to be demonstrated by virtue of our actions. That's a demonstration of our iman. Many of us will tell each other that, you know, it's, you know, Allah knows what's in my heart. But the reality is we're left to exemplify what's in our heart by virtue of what we do. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. And this implication here is he's calling us by virtue of a act. Those who believed, who have demonstrated belief, have built up their level of point where they're considered those people who have it. But he uses the verb. He doesn't say mu'minun. He says ladhina amanu. Big difference here because it's came to us and it's about what we do as opposed to what we call ourselves or what we say. In the Quran, is there not a verse that says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun? There's a verse that says that, O ye who have obtained true faith, why do you say that which you're not going to do? And most hated in the sight of Allah is those who say that which they do not. And so here the Quran is giving us direct instruction as to how we're supposed to navigate in what we call life on life's terms. That we're supposed to demonstrate a certain behavior. We can't just go on and say. It has to be proven in our actions. You see it in our works. Being Muslim is represented as an active participle. And look at the term itself, active participle. Well, in other words, you're saying that you actively participate in that particular act. What's the act? Muslim. One who submits, one who actively participates in the idea and standard of total submission and obedience to Allah. And that requires what? It doesn't just require salat. It's not just about fasting. Those are excellent things. Yeah, those are signs of that, but there are other things. How we conduct ourselves in society, what we take in, what we allow to take place around us, where we go, who we be with. All of those things are identifiers as to who we say we are. And if we're saying we're Muslims and we believe, then those things around us should have the same qualities, dear brothers and sisters. The prophet said that from Salah Islam, every one of us is created with a jinn. And so the prophet was asked, do you have a jinn? And he said, yes, but I've made mine Muslim. And so the same thing applies to us. We have to make an attempt, if nothing else, at making what's around us Muslim without even calling them that. People at the workplace, they know that they don't do this around or say this around you because you're Muslim, so they respect that. But now we're living in a time now, dear brothers and sisters, where people are finding out that you're Muslim by accident. They've been around you for years. I didn't know you were Muslim. You see? And so, and this doesn't mean that we go around parading it or that we, when it's time for Salat, we pull out the prayer rug right in the middle of the office and everybody is looking at us. No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying that we have to exemplify that in our behaviors. So they automatically know that that person is not going for that. We had a situation last week. Someone called me. They needed a letter of considerable accommodation for a Muslim to wear hijab as the agent in the airport. This airport happens to be a place that I frequent. And so I see Muslims with hijab working there all the time. Why are they pointing, why are they singling you out, sister? And she said that the reason why they're singling me out is because they have Muslims that work here that don't wear the hijab and they have no problem with it. So we need to have someone to verify that is exactly what I'm doing when I'm covering my head while I'm working and that it's a standard by which the way I choose to live. And it's my religious right. Whereas you have other people that they come in and they say they're Muslim, but they don't have a problem with taking the hijab off. And to each is his own, but the reality is that they use that person as a means to justify questioning why you're wearing the hijab. You see how terrible that is? So they take the Muslim that's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they use that as a means to justify preventing you or questioning you as to what you're trying to do with your religion. And we had another situation just recently with college students. They're there in school. They're trying to wear the hijab. They're trying to abide by, you know, the five salats while they're in school. And their roommate is a Muslim, but they have decided that they don't want to do any of that. And so now the person that's trying, she's being challenged by someone who's also Muslim, but they are not trying. They're trying to do something else. They're going with instead of them being in their room studying, they're partying. And so it makes it uneasy for the one who's trying. And so when they're questioned about that, they point at all the Muslims that are not doing what you're claiming we should be doing. So they're saying, well, because they're not doing it and they're Muslim, this does, so it must not be that important. So we're not going to honor that. We're not going to let you take off for this or take off for that and so on and so forth. So these are some of the things that come as a result of us not standing up when we should. May Allah help us that we say, I mean, we have our first caller, inshallah. It's 504, state your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. And praise be to Allah. The environment out there is very seductive right now. And the people, you know, grabbing hold of anything now. And a lot of us know that because you see people doing good work and doing good things, that don't mean that necessarily on the path on Sirat al-Mustaqim. So alhamdulillah, that's something I wrote I'd like to share. Alhamdulillah. Let's see that we have leaders in all the disciplines of knowledge and sciences. In our intelligentsia here, we are blessed to have some of our best minds. Revelation came to a common man, al-Islam people saying, because of the prophet nature, Allah knew he wouldn't deny his favors. Allah knew that once he absolved it, over many generations, people began to realize that true intent will be revealed in their spirit. If our spirit go against God's spirit, we lose the benefit. We want to go where our nature should go. Without God's guidance, it doesn't matter how much we know. Only God can open up to us a great world of opportunities and realities. People who have good intention and are doing good, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are on the path to God. Let's pay close attention to what Ali Mam taught. Humanism or any other ism will not lead us to the full realization of what Allah created us for. The Quran and the Prophet lifestyle, the correction of scriptures and the behavior that wasn't wild or foul. Allah promised us in the hereafter a better life. Doing good deeds realize the need to sacrifice. We want a great society resembling the paradise that God promised us in the hereafter. You must have a rational mind, a thirst for knowledge, an interest in nature and the sciences. What I've now left for us is indeed a benefit. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salamu alaykum wa barakatuh. Thank you so much, Bilal, as usual. We really appreciate you, and may Allah continue to bless you, my brother. Ameen. As-salamu
alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salamu alaykum.
704, state your name, where you're calling from.
Yes, as-salamu alaykum. This is Sister Kalita. From Charlotte. I wanted to give you some commentary on what you were talking about and listening into your show tonight about the example that you gave about following your religion, and people don't, making it difficult for those who are striving to model the life examples of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But just keep in mind that Allah says that each one of us will have to answer to him based off of our own understanding. And everybody's not at the same level of understanding at the same time. But if we just take it upon ourselves to keep modeling what you want to see in community, because people watch us, they really watch you, and I'm learning that. They watch you when you're not even noticing it. And so if you're modeling and doing the things that you're supposed to do as a Muslim, then that commands respect within itself. So all you can do is be responsible for you. You can speak a word to the right, and as you're doing, you can stand up against the powers that be when it's necessary to present yourself for a legality or something that has to do with your religion. But just keep that in mind. People are at different levels of faith. That doesn't mean that they're bad or their heart or intentions aren't bad, but you be that shining light. You stand up, and that way it'll help others do the same. But thank you. I enjoy your broadcast tonight. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for those comments. May Allah continue to bless you. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Martha Nyla.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Nyla Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Be there.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We're back, dear brothers and sisters. And so we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever was said of any good, strikes a positive chord. And whatever was said that may have not necessarily been of that, know that for sure that it was not intended. The total intention here, dear brothers and sisters, is to give nasiha not only to you but to myself, and so that it opens the door for us to be able to reflect, be able to explore the current events, looking at our past, in an effort to really define what our future is. And so Imam Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, gave us some perspective on that. And he said that in the Quran, everything points to the potential of a future activity, something in the future in the Quran. even when Allah is recalling past events, that it serves as a means to get us to where we need to go in the future. And so it has a future impact and a potential for it to have an impact our present, taking us into our future. But the idea is that it's leading us ahead and not putting us behind. We're living in a time now where they take truth and put it behind their backs and give you something else in its place to get you to do or to think the way they want you to do or think. And so with that, dear brothers and sisters, we have to collect ourselves and not be so quick to judge a matter because they're howling about it, because they're making some noise about it, or they're claiming that this person is no good, and they in hopes that you turn around and chime in with them, and now you're saying the person is no good. Like some of these people that are from our own people, and instead of them holding what they believe in terms of that, they go ahead and they chime in and make it seem as though they are supporting what's right when in fact they're supporting that which is wrong. And they make these comments as opposed to making them to the person. They're making them out in the open. So now they're getting other people to feed in to this negativity that all was created by the idea of something being considered wrong when in fact there was nothing wrong with it at all. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us to remember him and show gratitude to him and worship the best way. We ask Allah to help us be of those who work within the confines of the truth, that we become seekers of the truth, maintainers of the truth, and distributors of the truth. And to that we say ameen. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم صل على محمد والمرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر السلام عليكم wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and may Allah bless all of you with a wonderful week. And if you can, make sure you go out and vote. Assalamu alaikum.